This morning we had to try to scramble a little bit. We didn't have anybody in the sound booth, and our computer isn't working this morning, so we won't have anything up on the screen. I have provided message notes for you if you like to look at those, and you can follow along with me. It's not fill in blanks. It mainly gives the highlights or the head points of my message this morning. I'm very thankful to be with you this morning, and I trust you're thankful to be here with God's family as we center our worship around the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for billions of people, Christmas is over. The presents have been put away or maybe taken to the store and exchanged. I don't know. The trees have been put out with the trash, and everything is back to normal. But for us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that Christmas isn't over, right? Oh, you don't sound convinced. Christmas isn't over, right? Okay, that's much better. Why do we know Christmas isn't over? Christmas isn't over because after Christmas is Calvary. And after Calvary is the empty tomb. And after the empty tomb, Jesus is in heaven. And he's waiting to return to earth. For who? For all those who know him as Savior and Lord. Our Bibles tell us that the Lord Jesus, being alive, is interceding for his family today. You may think that you're all alone and no one is concerned about you or praying for you, but I want you to know, Jesus is praying for you. That's God's word. He not only is praying for us, he's terribly concerned about us. He's a living and a loving Lord, and he desires to have first place in our lives. Now, I know that as we come to church and as we hear God's word preached or taught, we may think, I'm not so sure about everything I hear. You don't know all of the discouragements, the defeats, and the despair that I go through. And during these times, I wonder, where's Jesus? Why doesn't he answer my prayer quickly? Why doesn't he answer my prayer the way that I want? And so we wonder, where is he? I pray this morning that as we look into God's word, you will know where he is. He is on his throne. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And he is supremely concerned for us. You are most important to Jesus. As I say that this morning, I realize that there are some here that really don't believe that. You are most important to Jesus. He is tremendously concerned for your life. He's concerned that as you face this new year, that you don't try to carry the burdens that you've collected in 2015 with you into the new year. Now, yesterday, as I was continuing to study, my sweetheart was really working hard. She was up in the closet shredding. And not only did she shred, she got rid of a lot of stuff that was in our closet that we really didn't need. I would like for this bag, it's pretty heavy, I would like for this bag to represent the burdens that you and I might carry through 2016 if we don't do something with them, if we don't give them to someone as we start the new year. This morning, we're going to look into God's word, and we're going to find out that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bear our burdens for us. In Psalm 55:22, we read, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." My friends, do we really believe that? That God really has the godly in his sight, in his holy sight? There is nothing more disheartening than taking the defeats and burdens of 2015 into the brand new year. You see, we can't carry these burdens. If we try to carry them, we break down. We break down physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, we know that these things have to be cared for, but we wonder, who can carry these burdens for us? This morning, would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to consider the life of a woman who had a huge burden. And she didn't know what to do with it for a long time. And then by God's grace, she came to Jesus. Luke chapter 8, and I'm beginning to read at verse 40. We will read through verse 48. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." As we consider this woman this morning, I have three main points that I want us to build on. The first one is this. As this dear woman came to the Lord Jesus, she held nothing back. She gave all of her burden to Jesus. She held nothing back. She gave all of it to the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we may think that God has to deal with so many people and at one time that he really can't be concerned about us, that other people's concerns and needs are far more important than ours, and we shut him out. My friend, that's just not true. This we plainly see from our text. If you don't understand anything else today, I want you to understand this. There are no accidents with Jesus. There never were chance meetings with Jesus. He was never taken by surprise by the people he met and the needs that they had. As we look at our scripture this morning, he knew the situations he would face. He knew the people that he would meet. But he not only knew who he would meet, but he knew how he was going to minister to their needs. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've read this scripture and when I've read it for years and years, we can only imagine what was going on in this dear woman's mind. She's been desperately sick for 12 long years, and still she was no better. She went to a lot of doctors. They didn't take anything from her but her money. How sad. Verse 43 says that no one could heal her. Other translations make note on this verse that she spent all of her livelihood on physicians but could not be healed by any. You talk about a sorrowful situation. This is it. But as bad as all this was for her, the thing that was worst for her was the shame that she encountered because of her bleeding. The Old Testament law said that if a person bled, that they were unclean and that they couldn't have any kind of life with their family or with temple or synagogue worship until they were cured, until the bleeding had stopped. So here this dear woman is for 12 years. She's separated from her family. How would you like to be separated from your family for 12 years? She couldn't even go worship the Lord in synagogue or temple. How would we like to be set aside because we have a physical problem, an issue of blood, and because we have that, people don't want to be around us? Why? Because they felt that even as she walked, if her shadow touched theirs, that they too would be unclean. If she sat down outside, they would never sit down where she had just sat because they too would be unclean. So she's in a horrible, horrible situation. You talk about a lonely and defeated life. This was it. She was an outcast. Think of it. She had the despair of going into each new year. Carrying the same burden, the burden that weighed her down, that kept her from experiencing joy, that kept her from experiencing life with her family, life with her Lord, because she couldn't worship with others. This dear lady had a tremendous, tremendous need. I wonder today, as you and I come to this service and we come to the end of the year, would we be willing to admit before Jesus that we too have great needs? You know, sometimes we just like to put them behind us. We figure if we put them behind us, we don't have to deal with them. But you and I both know that when we're alone with ourselves, we're just in our own thoughts and our minds, we realize that these things really haven't gone away, and we are eventually going to have to deal with them. And looking in the Old Testament, the man Job, who knows all about difficulties, said this in Job 5:7. Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Well, this dear woman was in trouble. She sure was. And in her despair, she seeks out Jesus. Verse 44 tells us again, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding stopped. Now, from what I've just said, normally, a person that was unclean would never go into a crowd. Why? There's two reasons. Number one, they would not want to be shamed. They would not want to be embarrassed. Look at that woman. She's unclean. Get away from her. She wouldn't want to do that. Secondly, a person that was unclean wouldn't want to, quote unquote, infect others so that they too had the problem. But this dear woman's desperate. She realized that there was only one who could help her, and that was Jesus. And so I can only imagine in my mind, as I see her with all of this crowd, that she stealthily goes through the crowd hoping that nobody will recognize her. And then through all of the pushing and shoving, she falls to her feet and she reaches out and she touches the very hem of Jesus' garment, his cloak. And at that moment, the Lord Jesus realized that someone had touched him. Well, the disciple is saying, what do you mean someone touched you, Jesus? Look at all of these people milling around you. Sure, somebody touched you. No, somebody touched me. And the power that is inherent in me is God the Son, the healer, has gone out of me. And someone has been touched. Now, because she was unclean, we ask the question, was Jesus upset with her? Would have you and I been upset if this unclean woman would have touched us? We probably would have. We wouldn't have wanted that. But Jesus wasn't upset with her. In fact, Jesus was thankful. Second point, that she openly confessed that it was she who touched him. You know, when we meet with God, there's one thing that he absolutely asks of us, and that's we're honest with him. We can blame other people, we can blame situations, we can say this and say that, but what the Lord Jesus really wants from us as we come to him with our burdens is to be honest with him. Well, look with me at verse 47 once again, please. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came, notice this, trembling, and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Now, the question has been asked many times. If she's been ill for 12 years, why did it take her so long to come to Jesus? I can't answer that question. And the reason I can't answer it is because the Bible doesn't tell us. And when the Bible is silent, we need to be silent. All we know is this, is at a critical point in her life, when she'd come up against the wall and nothing was working, and she was broke, and she was tired of being separated from her family and tired of not being able to worship the Lord with others, she came to Jesus. She came to Jesus. She was fully aware that she needed him, and only he could help her. You know, I laud this dear woman in her condition to put herself in the place where they could be yelling at her and calling her and shaming her. It took a great deal of courage for her to admit her need to Jesus. I found in my life of knowing the Lord these last many years that sometimes the hardest thing it is for me to do is to be honest with Jesus. But when I am, that's when he really begins to work in my life. Now, it says that she was trembling. Why? We don't know. I've thought maybe she thought, Lord, you've got all these people around you. Am I bothering you? And she didn't want to bother him. Maybe she thought, Lord, I'm unclean. You certainly wouldn't want somebody like me to touch you. You know, sadly, there are many Christians today who have fallen in their life before the Lord. And because they've fallen before the Lord, they think the Lord no longer wants anything to do with him. Nothing could be further from the truth. It could be that she was trembling because she knew she was a sinner, and that Jesus, as the Messiah, was the absolute Holy One. God's word doesn't tell us. It just says that she came trembling before the Lord. You know, it's amazing through my many years of ministry, as I've dealt with people like you and me, why people tell me that they cannot come to Christ either for the forgiveness of their sins or for help with their problems. They kind of use the same things we've talked about. Jesus certainly can't be interested in me. Yes, he is. Jesus wouldn't want somebody like me that has failed miserably. Yes, he does. Jesus certainly has his hands full. I don't want to bother him. My friend, you never bother Jesus. He's there for you. I've had others tell me, you know, Raj, I'll take care of the situation myself. And if I find that I can't deal with it, then at the last I'll give it to Jesus. That's exactly the wrong way to deal with our burdens. In fact, it hurts us. There's only one attitude that we should have when we come to the Lord Jesus with our burdens. And as I look at this dear woman, I see it's the attitude of humility built on the foundation of faith. It's the attitude of humility built on the foundation of faith. Verse 48 told us, then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You see, this dear woman believed. This dear woman dared to believe that Jesus loved her. He really did. He cared for her. There was nothing too big for him to handle. And finally, she comes to him. Now, we don't know if she'd ever seen him before. We don't know how she learned about Jesus. Maybe she saw Jesus heal somebody, or maybe she saw him teach one day by the seaside. We don't know. But she believed, and she put her faith in Jesus. And Hebrews 11:6, that it is impossible for us to have God's blessing upon our lives unless we believe that he exists, and he is one who rewards those who place their faith in him. She placed her faith in Jesus for her healing. My sweetheart tells me that oftentimes I'm my own worst enemy. Thanks, sweetheart. She's right. Oftentimes I am my own worst enemy. Because in the things I face, I think somehow that God can't meet me where I am. That he can't lift the burden from me. I have to carry it myself. One night in despair, where lying in bed before we go to sleep, and I'm sitting up, and I'm telling her all my woes and whatever, and finally she sits up, and she puts her hand on my chest, and she shoves me down on the bed. You thought Joyce was peaceful. She's strong. She said to me, "Now lay down and listen." Yes, ma'am. I laid down and listened. And she told me who it was coming from. It was coming from the enemy. And the enemy wanted me to think that I didn't have any recourse for the situations that I was facing. But I did. She reminded me of Jesus, just like this dear lady was reminded of Jesus. Well, I want us to think of something. Sometimes we say, if I bring my burden to Jesus, what will it do for me? It'll free us, number one. It lets us know that we're not in this thing by ourselves. He's got us. But it also is a wonderful encouragement to others. We never know how God works in our lives, even silently, to impact the lives of others. One person has said that a life of humility before the Lord often pays great dividends in the lives of others. And that's exactly what happened with this dear woman's witness. Now, interestingly, after Luke chapter 8, we don't know anything else about this woman. We don't know who she was. We don't know where she went. We don't know to whom she belonged. We don't see her again. But on the day that she humbled herself before him, hear me now, because she was honest with Jesus, because she humbled herself before him, she literally felt the personal touch of Jesus upon her life. She personally felt the touch of Jesus upon her life. I can only imagine what those words meant to her when Jesus said, "Go in peace." She'd been in turmoil for 12 years. And now he says, "Go in peace." Think of it. 12 years of absolute sorrow. No doctor could help her. Separated from her family and her religious life. But now, because of the personal touch of Jesus upon her life, she was whole. She was reunited with her family. She could once again go to synagogue and temple and worship the Lord with all of her heart. Her life was brand new. You see, she'd gotten rid of this. What a horrible burden to carry for 12 years. I certainly wouldn't want to carry this with me through the new year. And yet, I'll be honest with you, as one of your pastors, I think oftentimes I carry way too much because I won't be honest with Jesus. This dear lady was honest with Jesus. She humbled herself before him. Now, the Apostle Peter has words that underscore what this dear woman experienced. He says this in 1 Peter 5. God opposes the proud but gives grace or gracious help to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. I love this verse. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. My background in university before I went to seminary was psych. I was a psych major. I know what happens to the mind when anxiety takes over. I understand what happens to our emotions, what happens to our body, what happens to our relationships when we let anxiety sit on top of us. It isn't good. And part of the things that the Lord Jesus does for us after saving us from our sin and making us his child, he says in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it" what? "Abundantly," or "to the full." And when we allow the Lord Jesus to work in our life, as this dear lady did, he does give us abundant life. Well, some people say, you know, if I give my burden to Jesus, will he do for me what he exactly did for this woman? As soon as she touched him, he healed her immediately. Will he do that for me? I do not know. You see, Peter gives us an answer in this passage of Scripture. In verse 6, he said, that he may lift you up in due time. What this tells us is that our God will lift up the suffering, submissive believer when it's his time, not ours, to work in our life. I have seen God work miraculously, instantaneously, as here. I've also seen him work in people's lives over a period of time. I was sick in bed for 4 years with heart trouble. My folks prayed and prayed and prayed that God would heal me. It didn't happen instantaneously. 4 years. But then some are like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had a great revelation from the Lord. And to keep him humble, the Lord Jesus gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. But it's something that kept him directed to the Lord so that, as one translation says, he wouldn't become conceited and overly impressed with himself, that he had received this glorious revelation from God. He prayed again and again and again, Lord, deliver me from this thing. It's bad, Lord. I can't deal with it. But notice what Jesus said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. May I share with you that it is here that Paul learned more deeply a great spiritual lesson which every child of God, including myself, needs to learn. That when we give our burdens to Jesus, he also wants us to give ourselves to him. You see, he just doesn't want to carry our burdens. He wants to carry us. He wants to carry us. Paul learned that through the difficulties that he faced, and there were many more after he wrote that, that the Lord Jesus would be faithful to carry him as well as his burdens, and he would be able to make it through. Now, earlier I mentioned that you and I never know how God working in our lives will impact the lives of others. It was in 2003 that someone came into my life that impacted me greatly. His name was Jimmy. He was one of our young people here at TFB. He had gone before Joyce and I came. Jimmy received Christ here at TFB, up in the high school room. He was a powerful, strong athlete, a linebacker on North High's football team, a wrestler, a power weightlifter. Jimmy was immensely strong. He had a smile this wide, it seemed. Very engaging. But then at 19, he came down with leukemia. His family had moved away. His dad was in prison. Jimmy hadn't seen his dad in 10 years. His mom was on drugs. He saw her very rarely. So I was asked to go to Torrance Memorial to see this young man whom I'd never met. And over a period of a couple years, Jimmy and I became family. He called me Pops. It was as if he was my son. Now, this leukemia took Jimmy down hard. He was in Torrance Memorial for 5 months. Then he went to UCLA Westwood for a bone marrow transplant, which didn't work. Then he was brought back to Little Company of Mary, where he was there for 3 months. And he just kept going down. But there was something about Jimmy that was just unbelievable. He's only in his early 20s. His family, gone. But Jimmy had learned what we talked about this morning. He learned not only to give his burden to Jesus, but to give himself as well. Well, we got the call, Joyce and I, that we needed to rush to the hospital. I saw Jimmy almost every day. We went to the hospital on a Saturday. Jimmy was dying. I was with him all day, into the night. And then I went home because I had to come back to preach a 10 a.m. service here at TFB. Then we went back. And it was there in Jimmy's room that the doctor said, "Jimmy, we need to put you in a coma. We need to put you under. Your body is just too badly, just hurting itself. This would be best for you." Actually, this happened before I came to the 10 a.m. service. Now, God protected me. At that moment, Jimmy knew when they did this that he would never come out of it, that he would go home with Jesus. God protected me from that because I had to come here. Well, they got Jimmy quieted. He asked me to give him a kiss. He told Pops that he loved him. And then he was under. We came to church. The next day, 8:20 a.m., room 233, 8:20 in the morning, Torrance Memorial. The Lord graciously took Jimmy home. You see, I didn't realize it at the time, but this young man, at 23, he passed away at age 23, had taught me some lessons that as an adult I was still struggling with. He taught me, "Pops, when you give your burden to Jesus, you've got to give him yourself too." I never saw Jimmy bitter. I never saw him angry. Whatever hospital Jimmy was in, he was one of the darlings of the floor. Everybody wanted to go see Jimmy. Why? Because he had this peace about him, that even though he couldn't change his situation, Jesus had hold of him. Wow. This dear lady was learning that situation. The Apostle Paul had learned that situation. Don't just give the burden, give yourself. Jimmy had learned that lesson. This year, as you and I come into 2016, we have a choice. We can either take our burden with us, the defeats, the discouragements, the disappointments. We can carry it on our back and let it weigh us down emotionally, physically, spiritually. Or we can give them to Jesus. Like this lady, like Paul, like Jimmy, and say, "Lord Jesus, I realize I can't do it. You can. So, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm giving myself to you. You have your will and your way in my life, in your time. And until such time that the burden is relieved, or you let me know that I need to carry it still, I'm going to do what this woman did. I'm going to place my faith in you. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to let it make me bitter. I'm not going to let me have less faith in you. Lord Jesus, I give it all to you." And so, my friend, as we face a brand new year, the choices are, Will we carry the burden, or will we give it and ourselves to Jesus? You see, he's the only one that can carry the load. He's the only one that can carry us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for yourself, for your word, your love, your grace, your strength, your help, your concern. And Lord, as we're here together this morning, I know that there are dear people here who are struggling with burdens. Lord, I humbly ask in your name that they wouldn't take these burdens with them in the coming year. May they just humbly come before you and their burdens in themselves to you, and allow you to carry them according to your will, your way, and your time. We praise you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.